Last week we looked at something very interesting. Last week we saw.
What do you see?
Remember the. We are in the theme of hunger, right? How we need hunger. Are we hungry for God? That we acknowledge that hunger is a gift from God. We cannot have hunger ourselves, right? I go back to the first time which I started on hunger. I say most people are not hungry. Why? Because we can compare it with the natural. A child is not hungry because probably he or she is sick. A sick child cannot be hungry. So spiritually, if our spirit, our soul is sick, we cannot be hungry for God. Or if a child eats a lot of junk food, twisty, mummy, you won't want to grow. When you want to feed the real rice, they wouldn't want to eat, right? So spiritually, I would say the same. If your spirit has been eating all the television programs, receiving all that impartation, you wouldn't have that hunger for God. And then we said there are two more other reasons. You have to keep eating to continue to be hungry. The more you eat, the more you're hungry. Remember that? That applies positively and negatively. A person who likes to gossip, the more he gossips, he likes to gossip even more. A person who likes to criticize, he will criticize even more. But the positive side is if you eat more, you eat more of God's presence, you will hunger for more of God's presence. And the fourth one we talked about, just because you only know a very small part about God, but God has prepared a whole feast for all of us. You know, sometimes we just are satisfied eating biscuit in a sheep, when actually God has prepared a huge buffet for all of us. We do not know what God has prepared, and we thought that Christianity is all about this only, gift of the Holy Spirit. For some, Christianity is just gift of the Holy Spirit. For some, it's just speaking in tongues. That's why when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went to ask his pastor. He said, "Pastor, I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. I've already started speaking in tongues. Is there anything more?" He said, "Oh, I didn't see the little boy. Hi, boy. What's your name?" Sorry? Cosmos. Oh, so special.
Cosmos.
Not Cosmos. Cosmos.
Cosmos.
Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos.
Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos.
Cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what did I say? What was I saying? Benny Hinn. Then the pastor said, "What else do you want?" He was so disappointed. You know, he went to the meeting, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to speak in tongues. You know, speaking in tongues, and he went to his pastor, he said, "Is there more?" And the pastor said, "What else do you want? That's all." He was so disappointed. So for some people, their Christianity is only speaking in tongues. For some, it's just the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they thought it's everything, maybe. To some, it's just, you know, when I was in a traditional church, I was from a Baptist church, I thought, well, all about Bible teaching, that's all.
Correct, right?
Anything more than that, we say it's not from God. So we must, just because we do not know, we do not hunger for the things of God. So these are the few reasons we looked at. And then last week, we looked at the story when Elisha, how the king Ben-Hadad, remember? How Syria besieged Samaria, and then the whole city was in hunger because they cannot get out of the city. Food cannot go in. So they were very hungry, and then what happened? The king walked past by, and there was a woman who complained. So expensive to just buy what?
Donkey's
head. Donkey's head cost so much, and a poop of the pigeon. You want to eat poop of the pigeon, brother? When it is so scarce, the scarcity of food caused food to be expensive. So just because we do not feed on the right spiritual food, because there is a famine of real spiritual food, I actually pose the question to all of us. Have we been eating donkey's eggs? Have we been eating pigeon's poop? That is a question we should ponder. Some people, wow, this speaker is from overseas. We run, go and feed on it. But just because there's no real food, whatever people give it to us, oh, we think it's precious. Could it be just the donkey head? Could it be just a pigeon's food? because of the condition of times. Because 400 years before Jesus came to this world, there was a famine of God's word. No prophecy, no nothing. So there are times when God chose to refrain from speaking. Those are the silent years. In between Old Testament and New Testament, 400 years they were silent. So when there's a famine of God's word, it's just because of there's nothing, there's something, throw something, oh, so precious. Right? That was a story we read in 2 Kings last week. I wanted to continue, but somehow in my heart I was tugged by this verse. Remember we said, then the king was so angry, he wanted to kill Elisha. Remember that? He wanted to kill Elisha. Elisha is a very special prophet. He protected Samaria from the enemy because he knew the secret of the enemy. What they spoke in the bedroom, Elisha knew. Would you like to look at that? Why not, right? We are supposed that is our inheritance. So please, then we looked at the principle of how Elisha responded to the enemy. 2 Kings chapter 6. We talked about these two things. Elisha saw. Before the enemy came, he saw. He had spiritual sight and he heard. Remember that one? What was his position? He was sitting down, remember? He was sitting down with the elders. Can you also remember that? If you don't remember, go back to hear the audio. I think it was a very important principle we learned. You want to, how do we overcome the problem? You know, like we must always be seated at a position of rest. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 32. Elisha was sitting in his house. That is a position of rest. The enemy wants us to be in a position of chaos. You know, when your heart is troubled, don't make decision. Never make decision when your heart is troubled. Don't be quick to do anything. Always get yourself in a position of rest. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 32. Elisha was sitting in his house, the elders were sitting with him. We also spoke about the elders. Then the king, here comes the bad king, sent a man ahead of him. Before the messenger came to him, Elisha said to elders, Do you see? Belum sampai. Still very far away. Elisha had special supernatural eyesight. Do you see how this son of a murderer, I told you, King Ben-Hadad, was the son of Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel. So that's why Elisha said, this is the son of a murderer. Has sent someone to take away my head. Then he continued by looking. He says, look, when the messenger comes, shut the door, hold him fast at the door. Remember that? I say, you know, what you must do? Thoughts will come, but you have to learn to shut the door. There will be thoughts to make you worry, to make you fearful, but you must stop, you must shut the door, and you must hold him fast at the door. You must not allow that thoughts to come in. And then continue on, he said, it's not the sound, right? Okay, I want to develop on that because I think it's very, very crucial. So, just now we saw verse 32, the king sent a man, he says, but do you see? And then he says, it's not the sound, brothers and sisters, in our lives, you do not see it. But actually, how does the spiritual realm work? How does the enemy attack us? We say he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does it come? Does it come suddenly to your pants and try to tuck away your wallet? Do you walk, then suddenly you feel the devil come to steal?
Does that happen to you? I don't
know, right? So how does the enemy come to you? Huh? How does he do that? In your life, there is an eye gate and an ear gate. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he also wrote a book on the Holy War. He says, our life is like a city. For the enemy to come in, he has to come in through the eye gate or the ear gate. You get it? Eye gate. There is an eye gate. What you see is very important. Don't think that I can see whatever I want and I still can worship God. The problem is, what do you see and what do you hear? Your eye gate. These are the avenues the enemy come. You know, in a war, they want to besiege a city. They go to the, you see all the movie, right? Gladiators or whatever. They take a huge thing. bang, bang. You right? The power, right? They try to break, bang the gate, right? They wanted to. If the gate is closed, cannot go in. Same. You and I have an ear gate, have an eye gate. What do you see? What do you hear? It's very important because your eyes, your eye gate, and your ear gate is linked to your heart. Your eye gate and your ear gate links to your heart. So you must catch that. It links to your mind and it links to your heart. Your mind is the battlefield. Your heart is the seat of all emotions and will. So the enemy gains a gate. He has already won the battle. Do you know what I mean? If you can easily hear something, you'll be troubled. Your ear gate has been conquered by the enemy. And whatever you hear goes into your mind. You begin to imagine. You hear a gossip, an image appears in your mind. Oh, that person is like that one. There's a picture in your mind already. Your heart, from your ear, it goes to your mind, it goes to your heart. You feel angry about that person. Because it comes through the ear, it creates a picture in your mind, it creates an emotion, it stirs up an emotion, negative emotion in your heart. There you go. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. You are at first in peace, sitting in peace. You have just gone to church. And suddenly you walk out from the church, you saw something, you remember something, people say something, people gossip, people criticize. Just one word or just one image reminded you of something. Suddenly you saw something, reminded you of a person who bullied you when you were 10 years old. It created that picture of bully. Oh, God, upset. You just came out from the church. So this is how the enemy attacks us. Okay? The avenues through which the enemy attacks us, the ear gate, the eye gate, the link to the mind and to the heart. And I want to see a very, this is a bit difficult to bring out, but we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. You see, where did all this thing happen? When Elisha was there, Elisha was in his house, right? The king wanted to go and find Elisha, right? Where is Elisha's house? We must backtrack to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. Remember the very famous passage we all know about? One day the servant woke up in the house, right? Open up his eyes, hey-ho, all the army outside. You remember that story? Then Elisha also woke up, but he was not shaken. Why? He saw more the armies of God than the armies of in the natural. Where did that happen? That happened in a place called Dothan. Say Dothan, tell your friend, Dothan. Okay, Dothan is okay, right? Dothan or Dothan. Dothan, okay, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. I read to you from, or why not each of us read, verse 12. Come, who has found it? Verse 12, one verse. One person read one verse, come.
And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.
What's that mean?
So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan.
Okay, next person, who? Verse 14.
So he sent their horses and carriages and a great army, and they came by night, circling the town.
Next.
And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do?
Verse 16.
So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Verse 17. Anybody?
And Elisha prayed and said, what are you? I pray, open his eyes that he may see, that the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Verse 18.
So when the chariots came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people and pray with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha.
Where did all this happen? The place called?
Dothan.
surely it is important. The enemy, they were very unhappy already. They, every time I want to do something, Elisha heard it first, what we planned. So they said, let's go and attack him. So they say, where is Elisha? Elisha is in Dothan. And Dothan is such an interesting place. You see, it is in Dothan that the servant's eyes were opened. Right? His spiritual sight was open. In the Bible, there are only two times Dothan is mentioned. Dothan, okay? D-O-T-H-A-N. This is the second time. It's a very interesting word. It doesn't really have a meaning, but later we'll look at the meaning in a deeper manner. The first time Dothan is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 37. Okay, in Genesis chapter 37, you remember Joseph? Joseph had a dream. Wow, yeah? All the sun and moon bowed to him. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. He was the favorite child, right? Genesis chapter 37, you read about Joseph saying all his dreams. Then the brothers began to be jealous, envious, did not like him. And we come to verse 12. Okay, his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Right? Do you have that? Genesis 37, verse 12. And in verse 13, it says, Israel said to Joseph, Jacob, that means his father, said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And a man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. The man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to
Dothan.
So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, the dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him, cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. Reuben, very good. Yeah, he said, don't kill him. Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit, which is in the wilderness. Do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands, and bring him back to his father. Came to pass, and Joseph had come to his brothers. They all planned all this. Then when Joseph came, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. They lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother, conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him. He is our brother, our flesh. His brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. The brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. What do you think when you read this story? What comes to your mind? Sad story, right? A person with a destiny. God has given him dreams, right? Correct. Purpose in his life, but was thrown into a pit. Where does all this happen? Where did all this happen, my brother, my sister? Dothan. When you read this passage, does anything ring in your... Does a bell ring in your mind?
No.
What is the thing that suddenly strike you? What is the description there that seems to tell you something? What is it?
The enemy?
What else? Anything that... Hey, how come, man? Joseph was sold for what?
In condition.
Of? Who also had that?
Jesus.
Jesus also had that. Does it ring a bell? You see, Bible is very interesting. Even in the Old Testament, there is a shadow of what is going to happen in the New Covenant. Joseph was a prophetic picture of Jesus. It is not 100% copy, but it is a shadow, right? If you see a shadow, it's not 100% the shape. It's just a shadow. Hello? You see that shadow? Is it the same? Can be bigger, can be smaller, right? So it says Old Testament is a shadow, right? Of Jesus. So Joseph's story, what's the story of Jesus? The father said, go and look for your brothers. He went to Shechem. Shechem is a place where a lot of things happen. It is like in the world. Joseph was sent to the world to his brothers. Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. You see the similarity? Hello? Interesting? Oh. So, he was there. He couldn't find it. Then there is an unnamed person to say, they have gone to Dothan, right? The Holy Spirit appeared and guided Jesus. Joseph went to Dothan. He was stripped off. Was Jesus stripped off? Yes.
Yes.
Another picture, another part, right? So Joseph's story in Genesis chapter 37 is a prophetic picture of Jesus' sacrificial death. Dothan, the first Dothan. Is it Genesis first or 2 Kings first? It's not a trick question, right? Oh, like, of course, Genesis first, right? Genesis first, then 2 Kings first. Which is the first Dothan? Genesis first, huh? Genesis first or Elisha Dothan first? Joseph Dothan or Elisha Dothan first?
Joseph.
Sure. Sure? Some people already say sure. Maybe not. So Dothan only mentioned two times. Once in Joseph, once in Elisha. Dothan has a meaning, two wells. Tell your friend, two wells. Two wells. What is two wells? Wells, you know well is well? Two wells. Okay, there are two wells. First of all, I want to point this out first. In our lives, we must be able to acknowledge the Dothan in our lives. What does it mean? Unpleasant things that happen like Joseph. If Joseph that day was not sold to the Ishmaelites, was not given to Egypt, there will not be Moses. Right? He was going to, he has to go to Egypt, became someone raised to the Pharaoh, courts of Pharaoh, and then you have the Israelites were under the Pharaoh, then you have Moses delivering them. If Joseph, having all the dreams, was not sent to Egypt, you wouldn't have the story in the Bible. Alright? Dothan is two wells, right? Two wells. I want to say point number one. Dothan speaks about two perspectives in your lives. Each time you encounter a situation that is unpleasant, you must always know, I must see two perspectives. Could it be that if I don't go through this, cannot fulfill my destiny? Don't always think, oh yeah, this one, enemy want to kill me, enemy done something wrong, or this one, God punished me. No. Every situation is, oh yeah, why this failure? Some unpleasant thing, okay, or some failure, some shame happened in your life. Joseph, just so proud, I have a dream, my parents will bow to me, my children, my brothers all will bow to me. Suddenly got thrown into the pit. Shameful, right? Embarrassing, right? These things happen in our lives. But from hindsight, when you look at Joseph's life, Dothan speaks of two perspectives. You know you are living on earth, you must always know there is a second perspective, second dimension, a higher perspective. Everything that you go through in life, it needs to happen for you to achieve a higher purpose. Dothan, two wells, right? Two wells. You must see the two perspectives in your life. Some people say, why I must work? Why I must study? You know, the small children. Why are you lazy? Why I must do homework? You don't do homework, you don't do study, next time you cannot find a job. Correct? Huh? Yeah. That's truth. Naturally, you have to have two perspectives. Children must have that. Young people, why must I work? Last time I also struggled with that. After I finished my college, I thought I'd stay at home and don't do anything. You don't work, you cannot fulfill God's destiny. You stay as a bum at home, they call it bum, right? You stay at home, you don't work, you cannot fulfill your destiny. So I was kicked out to work. After I finish my degree, I don't work. You ask my, last time was my girlfriend, my parents, huh? I don't work. I don't, then I was asked, then I went to work in a place, not a nice place to work. My church elder is a lawyer. I work in his firm. I got not very nice treatment. But without that, I was scolded, I was trained. Why you do so many careless mistakes? Man? Without that, I cannot be where I am today. But I don't see that. I didn't know it was a doorpan in my life. I was scolded in his office. What would just when I scold? Because he's my boss and he's my pastor. Up on the pulpit, I'm not telling you lies. Up on the pulpit, he got scold. Who else? I was pointing at me. Without that, I cannot be working where I am. I cannot be so careful. I don't make mistakes now. I learned to be careful. I learned what it means to be careful. In the church, I was trained by him to lead song, to preach. I lead in youth. I lead in worship service. He gave me an opportunity to preach. The worst one is a worship leading. He has such a high standard. If I lead, if it doesn't move according to the Holy Spirit, I'll be scolded and I'll hear a shock. But if I don't have that, I do not know how to lead worship today. I do not know how to be sensitive to what it means to lead worship. I had to go through that. It was a doctrine in my life. But at that time, I got this, my elder doesn't like me. I think today, he knows what I'm doing. He'll be very proud of me. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nice. Work, ministry, you think it's nice? I was thrown to worship in front of people, he'll be there, he'll be showing, no, this is not the right song you choose today. Can we like that or no? I was trained in a very high standard, not the right song to sing. You must choose the right song. There is the right song, right song. So it makes me very nervous. I try to wake up as late as possible. Then my girlfriend said, how come it's your turn to worship lead and you come so late? Of course, you're scared. You tend to wake up late. That is the daughter in your life, in my life. Every part in your life. Until now. What I'm doing now here could be for my destiny ahead. It continues in our lives. Daughter continues in your life. Right? Like my wife takes care of the children. Maybe she thinks, well, it's all his, but she enjoys it. It's a doctrine for her. She it cultivates a mother's heart. When she looks at people, she has compassion. Do you understand? It's a doctrine. It's not nice. It's boring. It's mundane. I'm doing all this. Why do I go to school? Why do I do more? Why do I do all that? That's what I'm talking about. Say amen.
Amen.
It's a doctrine. Number one, about daughter, there are two perspectives. Whatever that happened, if Joseph was not thrown into the pit, there will be no story. There will not be Jesus even. That's the fact. He has to be thrown into the pit. He has to be stripped off. He has to be sold to the Ishmaelites. That was daughter, two bells, two perspectives. Are you following me?
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Are you in the daughter today? Whatever you are going through, remember it's a daughter. There's a higher perspective. You cannot see it now. You may see it one day. That's for sure.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to have that perspective as Christians. You don't have that perspective, you will live very sad, very boring, very mundane, very torturous. Every day to work. Every day to work up so early. Why not? I'm born in that. I always say, Donald Trump's house, no need to work. And so rich. Do you want that? But God has a purpose in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Number two. It literally means two wells. Two wells. Joseph was thrown into a well, a pit. Are you following me? Let's go to verse 24. They took him, cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. What kind of a first well is it? A dry well. Tell your friend on the left and the right. It's a dry well.
It's a dry well.
The first well is a dry well. You must catch this, okay? first well is a dry well. Second well, when Elisha, when they found Elisha, correct not? When they found Elisha, when the king wanted to kill him, he was in his house. He was sitting with the elders. Prophetic revelation flows from him. Correct not? He said, tomorrow, the price of food will go down. He prophesied exactly. Then a person don't know who did not believe, he said, you will see it, but you will not enjoy it. That is a full well, right? There's prophetic flow. It's not an empty well. You must first have an empty well, only then you can have a well that is overflowing. You're looking at me, you're not too sure. Let me show you John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, not just one, rivers of
living water.
What picture is that? It's a picture that inside you there is a well. A well that continues to give a flow of rivers of water. Inside everyone who believes in Jesus, if you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in you, there is a well in you. And it should flow out rivers of living water. That's the second well. The first well is when you are, it is dry, it is empty. My brothers, my sisters, what happened to Joseph? He was thrown into a dry well. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Empty well. He was betrayed. He experienced betrayal. That is your story, my story. In our story, in our lives, we experience betrayal. We experience people look down on us. We are being criticized. We are being bullied. We develop wounds in our lives. That is the first well. The second well is when Jesus died. You can access the second well. Dalton speaks of two wells. Some people, after they have become Christians, they continue to live from the first well. Why? They always hear a good sermon, they are touched by Holy Spirit, they move on, then two steps forward, three steps backward. Two steps forward, three steps backward. Why? Each time they want to move forward, they access the first well. The betrayal, it comes up again. Something triggered in the past. They got angry again. They got frustrated again. They give up again. They wanted to go all the way. Something crops up. Something is triggered. The first well comes up. And you and I must learn not to live from the first well. You and I must learn to live from the second well. Say amen.
Amen.
Are you catching what I'm saying? Because you say, oh, I'm free. You know, you get a good prophecy. People pray for you. You're touched. Then you go to work, you go back to your family, you go, something happened, trigger the betrayal that you experience, like Joseph. That's the dry well. Trigger your dry well, you begin to live there. Do you want to live like that?
No.
So it's your choice. It's a two well. Doctor speaks of two wells, okay? The first one is where you experience hurt, betrayal, pain. You have heard all the lies of the enemy. The second one is John 7, when it flows, you have an overflowing life inside your well. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're going a little bit deeper. Dothan in the Hebrew are three letters, okay? Dalet, Tav, and Nun. It speaks of a door. In Hebrew language, every alphabet is a picture. It's a pictograph. Hebrew, like only Hebrew language and Chinese language are the same. They are pictures.
Yeah.
You know, very interesting. So every alphabet is a letter. So Dothan is made out of three consonants, because in Hebrew language there's no vowel. They won't write vowel. So D, T, and N. Dothan, right? D, Dalet, T, Tav, and Nun. So Dalet is a picture of a door. Tav is your cross, is your salvation. Nun speaks of your life. So Dothan is also a door, a gateway to life. Just now we say double wells, right? double wells. Okay, I want you to listen carefully. Jesus himself had to go to the first well by Joseph. Jesus had to go to the first well to be able to unlock the second well so that you and I can access the second well in our lives. I rephrase it. Jesus had to enter the first door, the Dothan, like Joseph in Genesis 37, so that he can unlock the door in 2 Kings, where your prophetic revelation, your life, spiritual, supernatural life can flow through. The door is open for you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus had to do that. He loves us. He went through the empty and the dry well. Right? He was thrown there. He was betrayed. He did no sin, but he died in that dry and empty well to open up the door of life and salvation to us. In Revelations, there is a very interesting picture. We always know this verse, Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Let's look at Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. It says, everybody knows. You know, evangelists like to use this to invite people to become Christians, right? Behold, I stand at the door and
knock.
Right? Jesus stand at the door. Door, huh? Doctor is a door, right? Behold, I stand at the door. I knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him. We think always that this is for non-Christian for salvation. But actually this one, John was writing to the church. It is for Christians. You catching me? Huh? Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door. I knock. Anyone hears my voice, open the door, I will come in. Revelation chapter 4. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. What did John see? After these things, I looked and behold. What did he see? A door standing open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, I will show you things which must take place after this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. I knock at the door of your heart. If you open that door of your heart, behold, in Revelation chapter 4, I see a door open in heaven. Double door. Jesus has already gone through the first door. He has opened the second door for you and for me. Spiritual, spirit, gifts of the spirit, anointing, destiny, is all in the second door. He tells John that you will see what is to come. Everything, your destiny, must or can only be accessed through the second door. But Jesus is always knocking on our first door. Jesus is always knocking at our first door. Why? Why is Jesus always knocking on our first door? Okay, now we go back to where we started just now. Brothers and sisters, you and I have an ear gate. You and I have eye gate. It is your ear gate, your eye gate that wounds your soul. Your soul are wounded. Your souls are wounded through things that happen in this life. Okay, tragedies, betrayals, when you are small, some people are wounded because of abuse. Some people are wounded because of all kinds of unpleasant things happen in their lives. Different degrees, different persons. But we have all different kinds of experiences in our life that cause our soul to be not perfect. Okay? This is what the Bible says. All have sinned. That's because you and I are born of sin. Don't have to go and blame your parents. Blame your neighbors, blame your teachers or whatever. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, right? If this is the glory, we all cannot reach the arrow, right? So all have sinned. Your soul is not in a perfect condition. Sometimes it's because of your parents, sometimes it's because of your spouse, your friend, you experience betrayal, your soul is wounded. Your heart is wounded. That, you know, let me give you an example of eye gate and your ear gate. If some people see in the spirit, some people, they have a monkey here on the shoulder, in the spirit. The spirit of mischief. Monkey speaks of mischief. Some people have monkey always sitting here, whispering to them. Some people have a snake whispering here. In the spirit, where we don't see it. Some people, they are mischief, always hear voice that cause mischief. Because that's the way they attack through your eye, ear gate or your eye gate. Eye gate very easy, open it up, right? See very easy, but ear gate sometimes you control, but you do not know. In the spirit, you always hear lies. Many people suffer identity crisis. They do not understand the value of their lives because they keep hearing this. A lot of people grow up, their parents say they're useless, good for nothing. They grow up, they never achieve destiny in their life because that same voice of their father has now been taken up by the serpent and keep on whispering in their ear. When they wanted to do something, want to serve God, you are useless, good for nothing. It's the ear gate and the eye gate. And because of all this damage, your soul can be wounded. And when your soul is wounded, the enemy can come, right? And take over, take control of your eye gate, take control of your ear gate and eye gate. All this lead to your heart, right? That's what I say, right? Jesus comes knocking on this first door. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knocks on the first door. Why you take 3 steps forward, 2 steps backward? 1 step forward, 4 steps backward. Why all these things cause a stumbling block in your walk with God? The weakness, the woundedness of your soul. Jesus come knocking on the wounds. The wounds of your heart make the first door close and you cannot go to the second door. Every time that first door is triggered, Jesus is also standing there, knocking. Jesus is also standing there. I know what you're going through. I have been through it. Jesus has gone through the first door. He died on the first well, the first pit. Dry and empty. Your place is not there. My place is not there. But many of us, listen to this carefully, we live there, hoping to fulfill our destiny, hoping to have a breakthrough, hoping to be blessed. But we live in the first realm when the second door in heaven has been opened. Never we can access it because we dwell in the first door all the time. We love it. We come here and Jesus always comes to knock at the wounds of your heart. I have died on the cross. Can you give that up to me? When you give that up, how can it be that I close my door to God? Jesus has to knock it. The wounds. He comes knocking at the wounds of your heart. Each time you feel pain, each time you are stirred up in anger, in bitterness, in envy, all these things come and attack you. Jesus is right there, knocking at the wounds of your heart. Let me in. Give me this door. You don't have to hold on to this door anymore. This is the closed door that caused your walk with God to be unproductive, unfruitful. You cannot fulfill your destiny. You cannot get into the second well full of life. All starts from your eye gate, your ear gate, damaging your soul, your heart close to God. And we have a faithful Holy Spirit that always knocks on the door of your heart. Every circumstance in your life that you go through, and I'm telling you, the knocking of the door of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen only in the church. We think that in the church it happens. No, it happens in your life when you go outside the church. when people scold you, when people look at you one kind, when something happens that reminds you of your pain, of your bitterness, of your past, right there, Jesus knocks at the root of your heart. Says, do you still want to carry those wounds? And if you respond the same way you have been responding for the past 10 years, you get angry, you swear, foul word, you react bitterly, you don't want to forgive, each time Jesus came knocking in vain. In vain. You just missed another opportunity to step into the second door. You and I missed that opportunity to step into the second door. Because we are so used camping in this first door. Amen. Are you following me? I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to us this evening. It's not going to be a long message. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the door. Wow. Right? John chapter 10 verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, climbs up some other way, that is a thief, that is a robber. You see, those things, the monkeys on your shoulder, the snake, the things that happen in your life, those things, they don't enter in through the door. They dare talk to you, they whisper to you, that's a thief, that's a robber. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. He's the one who cares for your well-being. You see, it's very interesting. Jesus did not only say he is the door, but he is the one that goes through the door. That's amazing, man. He's the one who goes through the door. Verse 3, to him, the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you. Just now he said, I enter through the door. And now Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Hallelujah. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If you enter if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. He will be able to. If he goes in the first door through Jesus, the door, you will be able to access the second door and you will have pasture. You will have food to eat. There will be life. There will be the well where the rivers always flow. You will never lack any good things. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thief does not come except to steal and all that, right? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hello? The good, yeah, look with me at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the one that goes through the door. And I am the door. I am the door. I'm the shepherd that gives my life to the sheep. He has gone through the first door. When he died on the cross, the cross is the door for you to go to the second door. Each time you go through your life, anything triggers your past, triggers your bitterness, triggers your flesh, your temptation, triggers you to commit sin, to your lust, triggers all kinds of things. The cross is the door. God will knock on your heart, knock on the wounds of your heart, and he said, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the shepherd that has given my life to you. Wow. Wow, he has already gone through the first door. You don't have to carry on The temptation, you don't have to respond to the temptation. You don't have to respond to the old wounds anymore. He has laid down his life. On the cross, he's been stripped naked. He's taken your shame. He's taken the curse. The cross is the key. Each time he knocks at the door, knocks at the wound. Each time you are tempted, each time that moment of crisis comes, you remember Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. I am not alone in experiencing your pain. When the people bully me, the people betray me, I have a Savior who has gone ahead of me, who has gone through the same thing, who experienced. That's why the complete picture is very beautiful. We have a high priest that understands what we go through. Every temptation, every trial, every pain, every bitterness that we went through, Jesus has gone through. Hallelujah. You have to see Jesus. You cannot say, I become bitter. I don't like the whole church. I don't like Jesus. I give up. I better see. I do this. No. You are stuck in the first door. Don't forget, when you're stuck in the first door, look at the door. Jesus is the door. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He has laid down his life.
Wow.
Hallelujah. And he's your Jesus. That is my Jesus. And you and I must go through Dalton each time, in every specific area in your life. Some people struggle in their finances. Some people struggle in their emotions. Some people struggle with unforgiveness. Some people struggle with whatever in your life. Many, many bitterness. Some people struggle with the past. Some people struggle with unforgiveness. All these things, that moment of when the moment of crisis comes, for you to repeat the cycle, you know, it will come again and again. You will fall into the same sin. They say, when will all this end? The next moment of crisis comes. Be aware that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And that, make it the last time. He knock, you respond, and go to the second door. And you are free from that bondage. You are free from your fear. You are free from the worry that you have been always plagued with. Whatever. All of us struggle through many things. But one at a time, let God deal with you. You are nearer and nearer. Doctor takes you nearer and nearer to your destiny in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we stand? Hallelujah. You see, your place of weakness can become your place of victory. Because when Jesus came knocking at the door of your heart, that is an opportunity for you to turn your place of weakness, your place of failure, to become a place of overcoming. Because Jesus knocked at the wounds of your soul, knocked at the wounds of your heart. Whatever you have gone through, you and I cannot continue camping in the first door. Let's close our eyes. You know, you and I cannot camp at the first door anymore. God is calling out His people. He is equipping His people for what is coming on this earth. He is calling out to His people. He wants to prepare His bride. He wants to make His people become aware who they are. Why are they on this earth? That there is a plan, there is a purpose, there is a destiny in this life. And in order to do that, He always comes. He wants to help you, help me overcome the first door so that you can enter into the second door. The second door will lead you to our destiny, our God-given destiny, the God-given promises, the breakthrough, the blessings that He has in store for you and me. Every time He has to first call you by name, knock at the wounds of your heart, that is the door that you have closed. He will knock, He will call out your name, your place of weakness, your place of shame, your place of sin, your place of failure has the opportunity to become a place of breakthrough, a place of victory, a place of blessing. The choice I pray the Holy Spirit, this evening as we gather, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you begin to knock on the door of our hearts even now. Some of the issues that we have yet to resolve, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the past that we carry, these are the things that hold us back from fulfilling your destiny. These are the things that tie our legs down and we cannot fly. But you and I are created to fly and to soar. Many people are stuck by their failures, by something wrong that they have done, something bad or whatever that is. Some unpleasant experience, you know, your parents or whatever, your spouse or whatever, you have something you're not proud of. And Jesus wants to knock at the door. Knock at the door. Knock at the woundedness of your soul. And he's knocking. And when it knocks, you thought it's painful. You thought, God, are you coming? Are you coming to destroy me? Don't forget, he is a good shepherd. God, why is this happening? Is this happening to destroy me? Is this happening to make me not fulfill what you want me to do? Why is this happening? Am I a failure? Am I a loser in my life? God is knocking. And you have to open the door of your heart and give him the first door. Give him your first door in doctrine so that he can enter into Revelation chapter 4. First one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask Brother Joseph to just play the guitar gently. I want all of us to just think at Jesus and focus your heart on Jesus. And I ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Just yield to him tonight. I'm not going to do anything, but I pray that the Holy Spirit is, let there be a transaction between you and the Holy Spirit. We need to sing a song like that. Music helps us to focus. I know some of you begin to feel the Holy Spirit even now. You don't want to live in that first door anymore. Many of you just don't want to live in that first door anymore. It haunts you, it chases you, it keeps reminding you of the past, it keeps reminding you of the unpleasant things, how shameful, how embarrassing, you were betrayed, you were killed, you were kicked, you were just... you are just abused by people. It's like you don't have a value. And it keeps haunting you. The brothers and sisters, today, let it be that you will be free from the first door. Today, let it be that the Holy Spirit, as he knocks at the wounds of your heart, as he knocks on the door of your heart, you will open the door of your heart and you say, Jesus, come. I cannot take this anymore. I don't want to hold it in my life anymore. It's not nice. I don't want it anymore, Lord. I give it up to you. I yield to you. I yield to you. Lift your hands to him. Just talk to him now. Lift your hands and say, I surrender. I yield, Jesus. I yield to you, Jesus. I yield to you. It's painful, but I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. The next moment of crisis, when it comes, I will look to the cross. I will enter into the second door. I will enter into the second door. I will go up to the heavenly realms. That is my inheritance. That is what you call me to. The higher planes. To fly. And not to be tied down by my past. By my failures. By my shame. By my pain. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Knock at the door of their hearts now. You'll begin to feel the Holy Spirit coming on you. Knock at his door, Lord. Knock at her door, Lord, right now. Knock at the door of your heart, Lord. He's calling out to you. He's calling out to you. Knock at the door of your heart. Father, I pray even now. Knock at the door, my brother's heart. Knock at the door of my sister's heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Surrender. Begin to yield that door to him. I don't want to camp in this first door. I don't want to stay in this first door. This is not my destiny. This is not my destiny. Jesus has died in this place, in my place, so that I can enter into the second door. Shira lava shiriya. Oh, shira lava shiriya. Shira lava. Respond to him now.
And Lord Father, we call.